Well, then, ladies and gentlemen, Colby Mike Bryant, Wimbledon champions.
Hey, guys, congrats. SoCal, written all over this thing, wonderful. Talk about the Bryant Slam and what that means, and add the gold medal to this. I mean, it's just an incredible run, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard to even dream that we'd have, you know, the Slam, you know, all four at one time. You know, it all started back after we won the gold. It just felt like a huge pressure was released. Went on to win the Open, and, you know, just had a great summer. And this year we've just been on a kind of an amazing tear. Never had a streak like this, you know, especially at 35. I feel like we're hitting our peak. And, yeah, I mean, when we got out there, I thought we were pretty loose before the match. And once we got out there, it kind of was sinking in, like, this is weird. We're going to go for the Slam here, you know. Not the calendar Slam, but, it, you know, I started off a little tight. I never whiffed a volley before.
Yeah, I knew we were in trouble when you whiffed that volley. That was
I hit air.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a very rough start. Those guys played hot. You know, our legs were a little jello-y, but we settled down. It helps having a 3 out of 5 set match. You know, you have time to get going, and you know, we just found our rhythm and got a good hold, and then just started stacking hold after hold and adding pressure on them and until we got the breaks.
After the first set, what are you guys thinking, talking about on the sidelines? And then secondly, just, you know, how does this one feel? I mean, you've got so many records, you have so many accomplishments. Does this feel any different? Is it feeling more special? Or
on the changeover after the first set, we said that's why we're playing 3 out of 5. We have time, and we finished the first set pretty strong. You know, we broke once, and so it felt like we had a little momentum going into the second. And you know, as Bob said, we just kept our energy high, didn't get down. And then you know, this one, in the context of our career, is, you know, probably up there at the top. You know, I didn't think anything could feel as sweet as the gold medal, but this one just feels like there's a cap, a lid, or like a ribbon around our career. You know, it's pretty cool. It's something we never dreamed of, to try to win 4 in a row. It's just too hard to dominate in doubles. And maybe we had a little luck involved along the way. We just took one at a time, and it just added up. You know, now we got to try to suit back up for the calendar Slam. I don't even want to think about that, man, because this is a relief.
Right now, but it also feels better knowing we're probably going home tomorrow. And we really ended this trip with a bang, and we get to enjoy it and fly back to our families and celebrate with them. You know, not always do you get to do that with Davis Cup. When we won the Australian Open, we were on a flight 4 hours later back into the heat of battle. When you win the French Open, you you take the train over to Queens, and you're in the soup again. So this is going to be a great one to just kind of, you know, just celebrate and enjoy and really let sink in what we've done.
How has it been for you being in this sort of tying a ribbon on things stage of your career, just sort of already have all these records, just keeping the meter going higher and higher?
I think that's the reason why we've been playing so well, is because we have everything, and everything now feels like a bonus. It just feels like we're adding nuts and whipped cream and cherries to our great career. You know, we've said that, you know, a few years ago. If we retire today, you know, we feel like we've done it all. Let's just go have some fun and add to, you know, whatever this is.
You kept a Wimbledon crowd who came, I guess, mostly for the women's final. You had it nearly full by the end. Can you talk about how much the entertainment factor matters to you?
Yeah, I mean, that's always big for us, is to realize that it's just not just tennis. It's a, you know, it's entertainment for the fans, and looking around and seeing a full house is really special. You know, especially at Wimbledon on center court, it's just a really good feeling to play a match that means a lot to us, and to see a lot of faces in the crowd, and to have it live on TV back to the States, you know, where our families could watch it, just makes it that much more special. But yeah, you realize that it's it's entertainment.
Yeah, I mean, it feels good to play in front of the English fans. They really appreciate the history of doubles, you know, and the great history here at Wimbledon. So you're playing in front of knowledgeable fans that really are enjoying. You feel like they're enjoying the tennis, and that usually brings out better tennis in the players.
Did it feel like you guys might have got a little more air on your chest thumb today? And on a more serious note, do you recall when that sort of like became a thing for you guys? I don't know if it was when you were 6 or 10 or 20.
That was definitely one of our highest chest bumps. I mean, there was a lot of adrenaline in the legs there.
In the calves.
I think Bob got a little higher. I just remember looking at your chest right here. My head was under yours.
I look like I was looking
at him. And he always lifts his legs, so it's like a effect. It's like a – it looks like he's way higher than me, but he's not. we started that back in college. You know, it's kind of been our thing. We got it from the Jensen Bros, and we did it, you know, one of our first matches at Stanford, and, you know, the fraternity guys were calling out for it. I think it was on the cover of the Stanford Daily News. The next day they called it the Brian Bump, and kept doing it.
You guys mentioned before everything feels like ribbon bonus at this point. You don't want to talk yet about the calendar slam. Are there other bonuses you kind of have an eye on? You could get to 1,000 match wins. I think you've never played Djokovic. Would you like to beat him? Is there somebody you want to level the head-to-head with on your long-time rival?
Well, we always, when we set out at the beginning of every year, the goal is to finish number one. And we're always looking at the team rankings. That's really the biggest goal, is to you know, be at that ITF dinner holding up that trophy at the, you know, in Paris on stage wearing our suits. And and in order to do that, you have to play well at the slams and the big ones, which, you know, those are the tournaments that are really important to us. And probably like to hit 100 titles, which, you know, I think today was 91. And then maybe try to finish number one 10 times. This year would be 9 if we did it, and we got a pretty good lead. So, and then try to get to Rio and get another medal.
What do you think about Dodik and Miller as doubles players, and what could they do to improve to become as consistent as yourself?
Obviously, they're both great players. Miller, he knows the doubles court really well. He's beaten us before. He has quick hands. He's a tall guy. He clogs the middle. And then Dodig's a power player. Great. He's a good singles player, so he sees the ball really well on the returns, and he's got a big serve. They're tough players, and they make it uncomfortable on any team they're facing. You know, they just got to play more and get more experience and be in more moments like this where, you know, they'll I don't know. They played well today, though. It was the first Grand Slam final. They didn't come out nervous. They started hot, and I felt like we had to play some of our best tennis to win. And, you know, Melo played great against us in Davis Cup, and so they'll have many more good tournaments in the future.
You guys are full of such good stories. You got stories from when you first go to the U.S. Open. What do you think your best Wimbledon story is, either when first arriving here or just anywhere down the line?
I've had a lot of good stories here. You've told that story where we've, you know, gotten a fist fight in the car after the first round a million times. It's a good story. There's a ton. Our first Wimbledon, we made the round of 16. We played a 3-day match against Alex O'Brien and Sebastian Leroux, and that was a pretty hot. We were chest bumping. We were young, showing no respect for the older guys. And there was probably about 20 rain delays where we came back in the locker room. We were sitting right next to them, and there was words said. They wanted to kill us, basically. Cocky punks. Gonna kill you. The veterans giving the younger guys some heat. But we deserved it. We deserved it. We probably, we were bouncing around and doing our thing, and we were only 20 years old at the time. But those rain delays, it just made for really heated moments in a small locker room over at the old court too. They had a small little locker room in there, and just kept going, collecting there, and
hearing OB give us shit.
That was the same year that you guys got in a fight?
That was 99.
That was
06 was our fight.
So 2006, that was after Delich and Kerr, was that? I was just
Delich and Kerr.
So just kind of break that down. You went 11-9 in the fifth, and then you start punching each other?
Yeah, it was weird because we won the match. Usually you're really happy after winning a match, and we're just in the car, and I just said something like, you should have served a little better, Bob. And then he took it personal and said something about my forehand, and then I said something, and then it just got worse and worse. And then I just said, I hate you or something. And then he just gives me like a little hit there, and then I go there, and then it just erupts into a full-blown brawl.
And then we got our bags, and then you sucker.
Yeah, we're like, walking up.
The mule kicked me in the stomach.
We're walking up the stairs to our house, and Bob's behind me, and I give him one of these mule kicks and kick him up the stairs.
Yeah.
And then I kind of ran.
And I ran up the stairs, and then he slammed the bathroom door right in my face and locked it. And I tried to, like, kick it down, but I couldn't get through, so I saw his shiny guitar. And I picked it up, and I just splintered it.
Yeah, I just hear my guitar was blowing up.
That felt good, and that was the end of it.
And then I hear everything's quiet. I go downstairs. He's eating, and I just pull up a chair, start eating dinner.
Your parents, when
did they know this? My parents, they actually don't come over to Europe, but...
They're back home.
Heard about it.
Watching every match on the internet.
Yeah. So there's a way of you punching each other.
No. We're on our own. We can.
We
behave a little better in front of my parents.
Your dad. Have you talked to him yet?
I haven't talked to my dad yet. But you know, after every match, we get a long email. You know, he's our biggest supporter. He watches back at home, and he's just as excited as us. I'm gonna get home in a couple of days and pick me up at the airport, and he'll talk about the match all the way up to Camarillo.
He watches every match, and if we win, he watches it 4 times.
Yeah.
You know, he'll spend the whole evening watching it.
Then I'll see him at breakfast the next day in Camarillo to talk about the match. The next day at lunch.
Yeah.
It's tennis. But it's awesome. He's really enthusiastic, you know, about our...
I mean, he definitely helps us when we lose, too, because when we lose... we get 12 emails of every record we've ever accomplished, you know, every match we've ever won for the year, recaps, what we're doing well, and we kind of read it, say, okay, it's not that bad, and we bounce back.
Okay, last question at the back.
You guys flying during the final? Are you going to be...
We have flights for tomorrow, but we're thinking about staying for the Wimbledon ball tomorrow night.
You keep a keen interest. How do you see the final going?
The final, I think it's Murray's destiny to win here. You know, he's doing everything pretty well. He's moving well. His game just is perfect for the grass, and you know, he rose to the occasion at the Olympics. I think he's got another good match in him. But Djokovic is ridiculous. He looked like a drone yesterday. It's going to be great.
If Murray wins, I win my little pool.
Oh, really?
Draw pool. We have a little
in-house
draw pool.
I win. Then this girl, Elena, wins.
One very last question.
Our friend.
I'm just curious your thoughts on our tournament in L.A. being gone after 80-plus years. What do you think about... I mean, it's almost hard to believe you don't have tennis there anymore.
Yeah, it's a shame. There's such a... You know, with the L.A. Tennis Club and... Kramer and Stan Smith and all the great champions that came out of L.A. And the immense history there, it's hard to believe there's not a tournament. Hopefully that L.A. Tennis Challenge becomes a premier event and fans keep getting to come and see great tennis at least once a year. And, you know, kids get to see exhibitions because that's what inspired us was going down to the L.A., the Volvo at the time, and watching guys like Mack and Agassi.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Congrats.